Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, by, I don't know, an hour before kickoff, we were jazzed up, ready to go, bring on the football. And then maybe an hour after kickoff of each of the individual games, we're over it and we realize, okay, what we're seeing here is not necessarily going to be anything close to what we see in the regular season, but it was still football with uniforms and helmets and under the lights and no red jerseys and guys tackling each other. And some of the players that we've been waiting to see for a long time. So it's back. Football is back, baby. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You know what else is back? Friday! Our Friday, not necessarily your Friday, although I hope you're on the same schedule as we are. If it's still your Thursday night, never fear. You're getting so close to the weekend. We are now 4 hours away from being free. Plus, it's a payday. It's all kinds of good stuff. So the Friday, the football, the payday combo, I'm in a really good mood. I hope that you are as well. Also, it's funny. There's another F. It's funny how people really overreact positively or negatively to what they see in a preseason. Here are a couple principles to keep in mind. They're rookies. Rookies giveth and rookies taketh away. Rookies in their first preseason game may show flashes, but man, they got a whole lot on their plate. They're trying to adjust. They're trying to get acclimated to the speed. No doubt in many cases they're nervous trying to remember the play call or the snap count. It's just natural. They're rookies. But it is a lot of fun when you see those flashes, like we got the first time that Saquon Barkley touched the ball. There was so much buzz about the number 2 overall pick in the NFL draft out of Penn State, and we didn't have to wait long to see what he's capable of.
Takes the snap on 1st and 10, hand to Barkley, looking for room, bouncing around, cuts through the middle, 15, outside 20, 25, 30, sideline 40, 50, and knocked out of bounds, and the Giants sideline inside Cleveland territory.
Erupts! That was fun. Seriously, that was one of the earliest plays you got on Thursday because it was one of the earliest games that kicked off. It was a 7 o'clock New York / New Jersey start, and it happened at MetLife Stadium. And the very first touch for Saquon Barkley, he is off to the races. So that was kind of cool. He didn't get many carries, I think 4 carries total. But the fact is, his very first carry in an NFL uniform goes 39 yards to the outside and down the line. And it was a lot of fun to think about the potential. But he wasn't the only star rookie who was on the field at MetLife. How about Baker Mayfield? There was some of what you expect from Baker as well. College or pro, doesn't really matter. The guy knows how to scramble. And he's got a good head on his shoulders under fire. And so early on, we got a lot of Baker Mayfield because Hugh Jackson wanted him to go in late first half and play most of the second half. And so one of his very first drives, they're in the red zone, and he twice converts. First a 3rd down, and then a 4th down, scrambling. And so it's good to see Baker Mayfield out there also exercising those muscles. So I want you to hear from Baker a little bit later on. Josh Allen had a dynamic throw downfield, 50-yarder, but he also took a sack for a loss. So what am I talking about? Rookies give and rookies take away. But it's still fun to watch them out there for the first time after all of the speculation, all of the waiting that we've done to finally get to this point. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You want to know what you will not hear on this show? You will not hear me, your host, giving you scores for preseason games. I'm allergic to them. They make me break out in hives. Scores do not matter in the preseason. My working theory, pretty much every year since I started covering football, and we're talking about more than a decade now, if you perform really well in the preseason, your regular season will suck. And if you go 0-4 in the preseason, well, more than likely, you're headed for the playoffs. That's my working theory. The preseason means a whole lot of nothing. And in fact, a lot of ways that they are vanilla to the core, because teams do not want to be giving too much away. Not to mention, they don't plan. They don't game plan the same way for a preseason battle, quote unquote, as they do for a regular season battle. So a lot of it, they're just out there freewheeling. I mean, they're using their own plays, but they're not necessarily game planning for the specific defense that they're up against. Talking about offenses, offensive coordinators. One or two series with the ones, then you see the twos, and then you start to get a lot of series with guys who are attempting to make the team. And so that's why when you look at the box score, there are 7 quarterbacks listed. There are a dozen running backs. Maybe you have 15 receivers that were targets or that caught passes. So it could be a lot of chaos and confusion, as a matter of fact. We're looking for those bright lights. So what did you see? What did you see in the first full afternoon and evening of preseason football 2018? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'm going to bet that you didn't have any of your burning questions answered. We did burning questions for the NFL season on last night's show. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say none of them were successfully or satisfactorily answered on this first night of preseason games. But what did you see from Saquon, from Baker, from Josh Allen, from Lamar Jackson, who was actually out there in his second preseason game? And boy, his first NFL touchdown that didn't count, ooh, was a pretty stutter step on a scramble. He caused the defender to slide and fall down. He actually avoided a pair of tackles. His coach, John Harbaugh, said he was tackled twice, or so we thought. And then he ends up in the end zone. And there's some other news as well about the veterans. But of course, a lot of the attention on the rookies, on the newbies, on this first night with preseason openers. So again, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, I feel like it's a good time to use your eyeball emoji. That's one of my favorites. I like it better when you have the eyebrows, but not every phone or operating system includes the eyebrows. Sometimes it's just two giant eyeballs. Whatever. Whatevs. Use your giant eyeballs and tell me what you saw. I have notes on Andrew Luck. Welcome back, Andrew Luck. I have notes on Dak Prescott. I also couldn't help but watch the exchange between Cam Newton and Kelvin Benjamin pregame maybe 5 times. Wowzers, that was tense. Did you see it? If not, it's on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. Kelvin refused to shake his hand. I think Cam Newton held his hand out there for a good 30 seconds. And Benjamin wouldn't shake it. And then Benjamin tried to walk away, and Cam followed him for a bit, and then finally kind of shrugged him off and left. I think it was Thomas Davis who was out there initially, and Cam was like, hey, can you give us a second? And then it was the two of them, but clearly they got nothing done. So if you haven't seen that exchange, check it out on my Twitter. I was a little bit surprised, not by Cam approaching Kelvin Benjamin, just because that's the kind of guy that Cam is. He's one of those, hey, let's just get it out in the open kind of thing. And then to see Kelvin not even shake his hand, I was taken aback because it's Kelvin who started this whole thing preseason by talking about Cam with his lack of knowledge of football and his inaccuracy on the football field, that hurt him the first few years of his career. What about the ACL tear? Is that just me, or did that potentially take away a whole year of his career? Gosh. Harsh words. Sean McDermott wasn't super excited about it, about there being this distraction. But honestly, I didn't expect Benjamin to want no piece of Cam Newton pregame. So you can check that out and tell me what you think. And did you see the news about Dez Bryant? Oh, so Dez Bryant taking to Twitter to let John Dorsey, one general manager of the Cleveland Browns, know that he'll be visiting next week. So this was kind of weird. It was a bit of an about face on social media. And Dorsey then stirred the pot a little bit by indicating that Dez hadn't been interested before that. But now Dez has said on social media for everyone to see that he'll be starting his visits next week with the Cleveland Browns. I mean, there's a lot happening right now, and it's only a few hours into the preseason. Again, you will not hear a score. You'll very rarely hear stats with me, even in the preseason. They make me break out in hives. But it was good to get football under the lights. That part was awesome. And I'm psyched that Andrew Luck took two hits, including a sack, and bounced right back up. Captain Andrew Luck wrote a letter to his mother after the game in which he expressed that it was glorious to be back on the field, or as he calls it, the battlefield. If you have not seen the Twitter account, Captain Andrew Luck, it is literally one of my favorites on the entire platform. So yeah, check out my Twitter. There's a bunch of stuff that I tweeted about football, as well as retweeted some cool videos, some things that make you go, hmm. But I want to hear from you, either on social media or on the phones. What did you see? What stuck out to you? How long did you watch the first preseason game for your favorite team? It wasn't just football on Thursday, though. Heavens to Betsy. There's so much news coming out of Major League Baseball as well. The Mariners put King Felix in the bullpen. He's made almost 400 appearances in Major League Baseball in his career. Every single one of them has been as a starter. And now for the first time ever, he will come out of the pen. So we'll talk about that. On a more serious note, Kenley Jansen is back in Los Angeles after the Dodgers sent him home from Colorado with an irregular heartbeat. He was hospitalized for a portion of Thursday. We also had a first in Major League Baseball on Thursday night. And then the opening round of the PGA Championship. Somehow Tiger ends up with a 70, but he's six strokes back of Gary Woodland. Anybody? Anybody? Gary Woodland. He's never finished in a top 10 in a major before. In fact, he's never led after a single round of any major in his career. But it's fitting that after opening round of the PGA Championship at Bellerive, that he would be on top of the leaderboard because he loves the course. He's a KU alum, and he's a Kansas native. So lots of friends and family there in St. Louis area to see him tee off in the PGA Championship. So I'm not kidding. We've got 8,422 things to get to, and I'm not sure we're going to cover them all. But I want to hear from you. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. I see you're already blowing up my Twitter. That's awesome. Facebook page two.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Buck takes the snap, sets up, looks. Looks again, he's going to throw. T.Y.'s got it, first down at the Seattle 46-yard line.
Try to make it as normal as possible. I'm going to walk, drink some espresso, hang out, have some meetings, a little workout in. I'm trying to make it as normal as possible. And for a moment,
there. I was like, okay, how do I approach it? Especially as leading up to the game, do I just try and control my emotions? And I just sort of said, screw it. I'm going to go out. Whatever I want to think and I want to feel, I'm going to feel it and let that happen. And it was a little bit like pressure was off of me in a sense. And I really had fun. Like, I really enjoyed it. Like I told you guys earlier, I didn't quite know how much fun if I would have this much fun again practicing football. I didn't know if I'd have this much fun again playing football. And it's a preseason game, you know. I'm not going to overblow anything or blow anything out of proportion, but it's still a game, and it's still a chance to go up against another color jersey, and it was a fun step on the way.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I mean, that's Andrew Luck letting his hair down right there. I finally said, screw it. I'm going to feel whatever I feel. I'm going to react however I react. I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to let loose, baby. There was one moment where he let out a guttural yell after picking up a first down, and Bob Lamy with the call. It's early, I know. Even announcers are getting into their regular season form now, trying to shake off some rust. But it was kind of cool that he picks up a first down and had a couple of scoring drives, and then you hear him say, it was just good to get out there. I really enjoyed it. And that's awesome, because it was great for me, this football fan, to see him out there. The NFL is better when Andrew Luck is healthy. The NFL's more compelling. And the Colts are obviously more compelling when Andrew Luck is healthy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I did tweet a little bit during the football games, the slate. But I also had an opportunity to look at a bunch of the other football Twitter, which I'll just be honest, I enjoy football Twitter. It's either over the top, completely crazy, or it's full of angst. And it started with the preseason. Did you know that almost everything that was trending on Twitter on Thursday afternoon and evening had to do with the NFL? People are hungry for their football. So let me know what you think. What'd you see? A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And if you missed our latest edition of Pre-Law, well, it's just me and Chris. There is no Isaac. Brian is with us tonight. Brian hasn't done Pre-Law yet, at least not to my knowledge. And so we'll have to see if we can rope him into a Pre-Law. Although I warn you right now, Brian, Chris hogs the camera. So really, if you have anything to say, you just have to interrupt him and cut him off, because he doesn't like to share his airtime.
I mean, when you have looks like that, though,
I didn't say it. All right, this is the Twitter account that is my favorite on the entire platform, at Captain Andrew Luck. It's a parody account, just to clarify. And he writes after the night's action, "Dearest mother, I write you a renewed man. I stood upon the battlefield once more, and the feeling was glorious. I used my sidearm multiple times with great success. The engagement may count for nothing, but the victory has emboldened the men. I am filled with hope. Andrew." This Twitter account is brilliant. You need to find it. Oh my gosh, it's so funny. And you could always count on him having some type of a unique battlefield take. Actually, I don't know if it's a him. It could be a her. I guess I just say him because there's a picture of Andrew Luck. Wouldn't it be great if this was Andrew Luck's burner account? Oh my God. Would that not be the best thing ever? Exactly. Mind blown, says Brian. No doubt. That would be amazing. Please let it be true. Please let it be true. Please let it be true. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, okay, okay. So Andrew Luck is back. He got sacked. He bounced right back up. He got hit another time. No problems. He's still healthy. He's chucking and ducking. First game since week 17 of the 2016 campaign. And someone had too much time on his or her hands because someone counted the number of days. It wasn't me. But I'm taking it. I'm stealing it. I'm pilfering it. 585 days since Luck last threw a pass in a game. Well, a fake game. But the engagement may not count for anything except the fact that he's got a huge smile on his face and he can finally feel a bit of that relief. Okay, I'm back. It was the first preseason game, the first preseason action, the first action without the red jersey for the number one overall draft pick, Baker Mayfield. And he was out there for quite a while for Hugh Jackson. Hugh had said he wanted Baker to get a lot of time, a bunch of reps under his belt. And so he took over in the first half and he played most of the second half. Tyrod Taylor looked good too, though, let's be honest. But for Baker, it was an opportunity to just get out there and to get his feet wet. It's going to take some time. It's going to take time no matter what position these rookies play. And I hear over and over from rookies that it's about the speed. You have to get acclimated to the speed. In college, well, you're the best of the best. And he was. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. That's not the case in the NFL, where everybody is faster. And in Baker's case, most of them are bigger than you.
Did some things well, but there's definitely room for improvement. I think a little bit of once those first stringers came out, there was you could tell in and out of the huddle, some substitution problems. So stuff like that need to get ironed out, which is good to see. It's good to get it out there early to where we can work on that and make sure it doesn't happen again. And then, you know, I'm happy with where we progressed. You know, we got into a little rhythm. Obviously need to be able to run the ball better, but, you know, our guys for the first game, not too bad.
So Baker Mayfield, Saquon Barkley on the field together for the first time. Art Stapleton, who covers the NFL for The Record in North Jersey, which is part of USA Today, he will join us coming up. He had a chance to see them both from his perch at MetLife. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I know a lot of your eyes were trained on Baker Mayfield and Saquon Barkley, who, NFL, how did you do that? They just happened to be on the same field to start their NFL careers. What? They were both at MetLife Stadium as the Browns traveled to the Giants on Thursday. It was one of the first games to kick off that was nationally televised on the NFL Network, and there was a buzz around the league. We're pleased to welcome Art Stapleton, who covers the Giants and the NFL for the Bergen, well, it's the Record, North Jersey. It used to be the Bergen Record. In fact, sometimes I still call it that because the paper lands in my driveway many days. And so you had a chance to see both Saquon and Baker, and I'm excited to hear your thoughts. Art, let's start with the Giants. What did you see that you liked from Saquon Barkley?
Well, you know, it's funny. I think, first off, it was the patience that he showed on that first run. You know, and you talk to Giants fans coming to tonight, and all they talked about was, well, we can't wait for that first run by Saquon Barkley. It was as if it was, you know, written in the stars for Saquon and the Giants that he would be able to break off that long one. And, you know, the funny thing is after the game, I asked Eli Manning in the locker room, you know, well, you know, what'd you think? You know, was it patience that Saquon showed? Was it by design that, you know, he kind of had to wait out the blocks a little bit? And he just kind of looked at me in deadpan with a little smirk and said, it was one run. Let's not go berserk. You know, so, but when it comes to the Giants, believe it or not, Amy, last year they only had two runs in the entire season that were longer than Saquon's first run tonight.
Wow.
And that says it all about what you need to know, why the Giants are thrilled for what Saquon could bring to the table. And, you know, look, it's preseason, but so far so good for number 26.
Well, what did number 26 have to say about his first time with a Giants uniform on?
You know, he talked about the idea that, you know, he expected it to be a little bit more nerve-wracking than maybe it was. He thought he was going to get a little overwhelmed during the national anthem. He said he did not. He said he just was very focused. I think the Giants and Pat Shurmur did a good job of scripting the plays that the first team offense was going to run tonight. So I think he went into the game knowing exactly what he was going to do. And I think he just was kind of you know what? It was one, you know, one game or one quarter of a game, or not even really, probably about 10 or 11 plays that he even played. But you know, I think for a lot of these guys, it's interesting. The guys who come from college are not used to playing a handful of plays and then coming out and
right.
standing and watching the end of the game. You never really have that opportunity in college. I mean, yeah, you know, when you're up 50-0, you come out, but there really wasn't that feel for them. You know, it was almost like Saquon was, you know, I wish I had a couple more plays in me. You know, I think I could have done some things. So right now I think the Giants are happy that, for the most part, they're healthy across the board. They come out of week one, yes, with a loss to a team that didn't win any regular season games last year, but I think they feel good with the direction that especially their prized rookie is headed.
Mm. Odell Beckham Jr. did not play in this game, and that's not a big surprise considering that he's coming off the injury and he talked about not wanting to play in the preseason. But you mentioned happy, and the second you say the word happy, that's what I think of. He sounds happy, and of course the Giants are happy that he's in camp. How has he looked so far in preseason?
He's looked very good in practice. I think the players are kind of surprised that he looks as good as he does. If you didn't know he had the ankle injury last year, you wouldn't know. But certainly it's on the in the back of everyone's mind that, look, this happened last year. We know how valuable Odell is to the Giants. But regarding tonight, you know, it's kind of funny that there's a lot happening even before kickoff for Odell tonight. It's the Browns, and if people remember last year, he got hurt initially against the Browns in Cleveland in the preseason.
Mm.
And there was this, you know, underlying feeling that when he broke the ankle in October, that maybe it was because that ankle was never fully healed. And it was weakened to the point where when he got that hit against the Chargers, he was really more vulnerable than maybe he would have been had he not got injured. So it was the Browns. It was his buddy Jarvis Landry. He of Hard Knocks fame now, and Jarvis with his rallying cry, you know, it was a funny pregame scene. Odell came sprinting across the field when he saw Jarvis, and, you know, they talked for about 10 minutes with a boom mic over their heads. So we'll have to wait till Tuesday night to find out what they actually talked about, but I'm sure it'll be on there on HBO. you know, look, Odell seems back to where, you know, he's enjoying the game and he's happy to be back. And I think Pat Shurmur deserves a lot of credit for that. I think he's worked very hard from the very beginning to build a foundation with Odell Beckham Jr. And I think that's been reciprocated. And I think there's a lot of respect between the two of men. And I do think that Shurmur's treated Beckham like a man. And I think Beckham has responded to this point and really acting the way the Giants had hoped he would act all along.
All right, Stapleton covers the Giants and the NFL for The Record, North Jersey, which is part of the USA Today family. After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned Coach Shurmur taking over now, and this is his team. What can we expect to be different on the field with him in charge?
A lot more creativity on offense, what we've seen in practice. I think they will use the weapons that they have. I think there will be more of a commitment to the run game. The Giants the last couple of years have talked the talk, but they haven't walked the walk in terms of being committed to the run. Just rushing attempts. In Minnesota with Pat Shurmur last year and the Carolina offense run by Mike Shula, who's now the offensive coordinator for the Giants, they were both in the top five in rushing attempts. I think it was 2 and 3 for Minnesota and Carolina. The Giants were 25th in rushing attempts last year. That's not going to get it done. So, obviously, you know, you bring some balance to this offense. I think what Shurmur's done is that there's this feeling for Eli Manning that last year he felt as though the front office didn't have his back, that the head coach didn't have his back.
Right.
And when things hit the fan, I think Eli reacted poorly on the field, did not play well, his play deteriorated. And I think he comes back a different player this year because of the work that Shurmur and Dave Gettleman, the GM, did in convincing Eli that he was their guy. And I think that was really a psychological message. So for Pat Shurmur, I think offensively this team, they need to follow through on the things that they believe they're better at than what they were with Ben McAdoo. And I think that's creativity, a lot more 12 personnel with two tight ends, rather than a lot of predictability, which is what the Giants have had the last 2 years. If you talk to coordinators around the league, the Giants were one of the most predictable offenses in the league, and that's never going to get it done in today's day and age when every play is broken down and dissected, and when defensive coordinators know what's coming, they've won half the battle. It doesn't matter if their personnel matches up. So I think the Giants have really taken a big step towards fixing that.
The defensive side of the ball has been a bit of a mystery. Last year was not good. I'm trying to be as vanilla as possible. The year before,
yeah,
of course,
exactly.
the year before, it was actually the defense that got them the wild card for the most part in the NFC. So, which defense have you seen early on this preseason?
You know, I think it's interesting because with the new defensive coordinator, James Betcher, there's been talk a lot about, you know, they'll be playing a multiple 3-4, which is really a new look for the Giants, you know, since Tom Coughlin took over in 2004. And even before that, the Giants have always been a 4-3 team. You know, the idea of the Michael Strahans and the Justin Tucks and the OC Umanuras, you know, that 4-3 defensive end that was dominant. Now they you know, have a different look. You know, you've got stand-up outside linebackers, a guy like Olivier Vernon, who is now playing on the outside. You know, they're just going to look differently.
Mm-hmm.
They have a different vibe defensively. You know, last year it was almost like they felt like they would pick up where they left off in the first quarter of the playoff game against the Green Bay Packers, when really they had dominated Aaron Rodgers on his home field for a quarter. Well, guess what? That's not good enough, and Rodgers dominated the next three quarters, and lo and behold, the entire, you know, ceiling caved in on Ben McAdoo and the Giants last year. So I like this defense up front. I think their defensive line will be very good. I think Dalvin Tomlinson and B.J. Hill are young guys who kind of put a stamp on this team alongside Snacks Harrison. I think they're strong up the middle. Cornerback depth will be a question here. Beyond Janoris Jenkins and Eli Apple, and both of them have their own baggage to carry in from last year. So that's kind of where I think you're looking at the Giants. What does their cornerback situation look like once the season gets going beyond those two guys, and even if those two guys are, you know, satisfying or meeting expectations?
Art Stapleton covers the Giants in the NFL for The Record in North Jersey, and he was at the Giants-Browns preseason opener at MetLife Stadium. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So you had a chance to see Baker Mayfield in his first NFL snap. So he takes over end of that first quarter, late in the first half, and then plays through the rest of the way for the most part. What did you see that stood out?
Very impressed. Poised. Precision in the pocket. He made several runs when plays broke down. What I said to somebody in the press box that I want to see with Baker Mayfield, well, number one, I really want to see how much of a conviction Hugh Jackson has by keeping Baker Mayfield on the sideline. The way he played tonight, it's going to be very difficult. Now Tyrod Taylor played pretty well tonight, too, against the Giants' first team. I think he was 5-for-5 with a touchdown. So that was pretty good. But, look, Baker was electric. You see what he was in college. My only question is that once you get into the regular season and teams are actually breaking down film to attack Baker Mayfield and an offense, can they take away the freelance stuff that he's able to do? You know, he was able to freelance tonight a little bit. He made a lot of plays against the Giants, second and third team defense. The question I would have, obviously, is that when they get into a situation in the NFL where, like I said earlier, you're breaking down tendencies, you're watching things, you're scheming, you're throwing things at Baker Mayfield that maybe he hasn't seen before, how does he handle it? You know, and I think that's kind of the next step for him whether that comes in 2 weeks, whether that comes in week four, or it comes right off the bat in their season opener. I think that's what I have to see. But he certainly, if you walked into the building tonight and you said, hey, the first round picks are on display, who would it be? You'd be able to pick out Saquon Barkley and Baker Mayfield. You know, I was really impressed with the way Baker Mayfield carried himself out on the field.
You can find Art on Twitter at @Art_Stapleton, covering the Giants and the NFL for The Record, North Jersey, which is part of USA Today. Great to catch a couple of minutes. Thank you so much.
Awesome, Amy. Thank you.
It is awesome. Football is awesome. And I know I'm not the only one who's giddy, because I've seen so many of my friends on Facebook even, and Facebook is not a work tool for me, my personal account. It's just friends and family. And every now and then, you know, there's a bunch of colleagues that I'll see posting, but really it's more personal. And yet the people that I know in my personal life, they were giddy about football too. So that's kind of cool. And I know that earlier in the evening on Thursday, pretty much every trend in the U.S. had to do with the NFL in some way, shape, or form. Right now, even, we're talking about hours later, and still, Cowboys, Seahawks, Niners, and the hashtag Dow versus SF, which of course is Dallas versus San Francisco, those are still all trending on Twitter. Get this, nearly 44,000 tweets about the Dallas Cowboys alone on Thursday. The Niners, nearly 35,000 tweets. People are jazzed up, even though after the first couple of series, we're all ready for actual football that counts. It's still fun to get a taste of it. Whets your appetite. It's an hors d'oeuvre, if you will. Who doesn't love hors d'oeuvres? Problem is, you can't stuff yourself with hors d'oeuvres, because then you're too full for the main courses. So we got a taste. And now we wait. We wait for week number two. Actually, I guess we do have 8 more games still to come, which is awesome. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We've also got some big baseball news. That's straight ahead. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.